All right, morning, everyone. Today's daf in tomorrow's daf Yud Gimel. We're a little bit behind. We're back on Yud Beis Amud Aleph towards the bottom, and we're at the two dots. We just learned the Mishnah yesterday. The Mishnah was talking about creating from creation or derivatives, however you want to say it, but basically taking something that was created and going one step beyond that. And the Mishnah, as a general rule, says that you cannot do that. You cannot go beyond that which you've created. The learning this morning that we're going to be doing is going to be Aliyas Nishmas Chemda Bas Yitzchak Dov HaKohen. Hashem should have an Aliyah. Now, in the Mishnah gave a whole list of examples. The reason why this Mishnah comes up in Temurah is because one of those examples is Temurah, where once I create an animal vis-a-vis the process of Temurah, I change one animal for another animal, so that's it. In other words, the buck stops there. I cannot now extend the Kedusha from the second animal to a third animal, and certainly not from a third and onward. Ain Temurah osa Temurah. That's the rule in the Mishnah. While the Mishnah was giving us the rule of Ain Temurah osa Temurah, so it gave us a whole list of other rules as well. Yesterday we covered two of the rulings of the Mishnah. Number one, the Mishnah says, Ain Meduma Medam Elafi Cheshbon, that if you have Chuma and Chulin get mixed together, and then from that mixture now it goes into another mixture, so I work based on ratios. I gave the example yesterday of what exactly that meant. That was the first halacha of the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah went on to give another halacha. What if I have a leavening agent that causes the dough to rise? And from that now, I take a piece of that dough and use it as a leavening agent for another dough. So again, I work with the original ratios, and I do not consider the entire entity to be that of Isser. And then the Mishnah took us through a third halacha, Ein amayim she'uvim posam as mikvah, ela lefi cheshbon. That when it comes to mayim she'uvim, drawn water, so it doesn't pass on mikvah unless it is cheshbon. This is where we got to yesterday, and this is now what we're going to be discussing today. We're on the bottom of the amud, and we're talking about mikvah. Okay, so first and foremost, we know that a mikvah requires 40 sa'ah of mayim, of mei mikvah, of collected rainwater. Now, a natural spring water also would work as well for immersion, in order to be metahir, but we're not going to be talking today about the ma'ayan, the spring water. We're going to be speaking today about mikvah, about collected rainwater. Now, in theory, the best thing to do is just simply dig a hole in the ground and allow it to rain, and the rain will collect, and that's what the word mikvah means, and it will collect in this hole in the ground, and hence you have a mikvah. Once you have 40 sa'ah, right, which is a minimum requirement, so now it's a kasha mikvah. You can add whatever you want at that point in time. It's not going to pass on the mikvah because the mikvah now is kasha. Once you have a kasha mikvah, that's it. But let's say you have less than 40 sa'ah of water and you put in mayim she'uvim. Mayim she'uvim means water that was collected in any type of container. And then you put that into the mikvah, that'll pass on the mikvah, will disqualify the mikvah. Meaning, even after you put the mayim she'uvim in and then you added more, even if it's more rainwater on top of that, but now, in order to get to the 40 sa'ah, part of it was mayim she'uvim, so that'll passel the mikvah. How much mayim she'uvim do you need to passel a mikvah? 3 lugin. It's really not a lot, comparable to the 40 sa'ah that's required in total for the mikvah. So only 3 lugin of mayim she'uvim, of drawn water, will passel the mikvah. Mayim she'uvim, is that passel the mikvah min haTorah midRabbanan? Discussion beyond the scope of the daf today, but you'll see there'll be indicators in our daf today as to whether or not it may only be a psul derabbanan, not psul deraisa. Now, our Mishnah makes a statement which really is cryptic, meaning the Mishnah says, I read, Ein amayim she'uvim posam as a mikvah, ela lefi cheshbon. That when water passes a mikvah, it only passes it lefi cheshbon. What does that mean? What cheshbon are we talking about? So the Gemara starts off like this. Man tana, am Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, am Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elaz ben Yaakov, he did not. So the Gemara suggests that maybe our mission is going like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Amar Mikvah Sheish Bo Asum V'Achas Sa'ah, because we have a statement, it's a Tosefta, that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, if I have a mikvah that has 21 Sa'ah of Megeshamim of rainwater, okay? Now, we know that the mikvah requires 40, so what does 21 represent? Majority. If it's majority now, more than halfway filled with rainwater, Memaleh Bechateif, so what I can do now is I can get buckets of 19 sa'ah upotkin lemikva. And then I could be potek. What does that mean? Take a look at Rashi on the bottom of the Amud, potkin lemikva. Rashi writes, shelo yarem en adli letocha mikva, da'afilu b'shosha lugim ifsal lemikva, b'chiyai gavna. Certainly to take three lugin, which is just a little bit, three lugin of collected water, and to pour that into the mikvah when the mikvah doesn't yet have 40 sa'ah, that will passel the mikvah. That goes without saying. Aval yaseh chritz v'guma lemerchalk. So says Rashi, what you're going to do is like this. You're going to make a little canal running into this mikvah. This mikvah now has 21 sa'ah of collected rainwater. You make a little groove in the ground that basically runs into the mikvah. Rashi doesn't say how long that groove has to be, subject to a machlokas amongst the Rishonim. But right now, just let's say a little groove. V'yarem en adli l'tocha guma. Then the bucket of water that you have on your shoulder, you pour into this little canal that you made and let that run into the mikvah. V'yikachu amayim derech achritz l'socha mikvah. V'hainu hamshacha. And this is a process known as hamshacha. Maybe you've heard of this process before, the process of hamshacha. Well, now basically, give new status to that collected water, the water in the kli. Meaning by now running it through a canal and having it going into the mikvah, you're now essentially transforming that water from maim she'uvim to, for lack of better term, natural water. Okay?
Action can be done.
The Gemara says? Well, halach, I know, halach lama said, but wait. Wait. It's early. So it's early. Give me a moment. So Chasa Yasau Potkin Lemikvah. Vehain, turn page, top of Yud Beis Amud Beis, Vehain Tahorin, and it's Tahor, meaning now you've created a Kasher Mikvah. Sheha She'iva Metaheris, Birivia Uvehamshacha. Now, She'iva will be Metaher, meaning you could take Kli water, drawn water, and as long as you have two things, revia means rov, meaning as long as most of the mikvah is made up of natural collected rainwater, and your maim she'uvim, your converted maim she'uvim only represents a minority, then our numbers are going to be 21 and 19, 21 collected rainwater, 19 sa'ah of converted drawn water, and also hamshacha, and also you need the conversion, meaning I need to take the water that I collect in the bucket and run it through that little canal that runs into the mikvah. So if I have both of these criteria, so therefore it would work. Good. Now what the Gemara is trying to do is suggest that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Why? Because remember, what's the wording of the Mishnah? Ein amayim she'uvim posim es mikvah elofi cheshbon. You need a cheshbon. Meaning there has to be some sort of accounting. So that means now that, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, there is an accounting. What accounting do we mean? 19 verses 21. That the mikvah has to start with 21 sa of collected rainwater, natural water, and then I can take drawn water and write bucket water, and as long as I do the process of hamshacha, I will create a kasher mikvah. Good. Now the Gemara says, just wait 1 second, Mechlal, Derabban Savre, Debrivi of Hamshacha, lo. Okay, but you know what it sounds like? It sounds like that the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And you can't even, according to the Chachamim, who argue, there's no possibility of conversion whatsoever. But Ella, ha dechi asa rabin am Rav Yochanan, she'uva she'imshichu kula tahora. We happen to have a statement made by Rabbi Yochanan. Now Rav Yochanan's an Amora. But he says that you can make an entire mikvah based on this converted water. Meaning, so if I have now bucket water, and I use this conversion of making a canal into the mikvah, pouring the water into the canal, letting it drain into the mikvah, so now according to Rav Yochanan, and he's got to be quoting somebody. In other words, he's not just saying this on his own. So he says that the mikvah is good, even if you do it in its entirety this way. All 40 sa'ah are accomplished in this manner. So now, kula ta'ura mani lo rabbanu v'lo Rabbi Elazar. Now, who's he going like? I know he's not going like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. That I know, because Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov requires rov. He requires 21 of the 40 sa to be natural rainwater. So it's not Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, but who else is it then? It's not. We thought the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and they certainly do, but which way do they disagree? Ella, Amar Rabba, Lefi Cheshbon. I'm sorry. So the Gemara is abandoning, meaning the Gemara now says that, look, Hamshacha works according to everybody. The only debate is, can I make a mikvah entirely out of Mayim Hamshacha? Or do I still need Rov of May Mikvah?
Where does Rabbi Yochanan base his opinion?
Correct. That's exactly what the Gemara's question is. And the answer is, Shitas Chachamim. We thought Shitas Chachamim was Hamshacha doesn't work at all. But now what the Gemara is correcting our thinking and saying is, no, according to the Chachamim, Hamshacha works even entirely. And Rav Yochanan's going like the Chachamim. Good. So now what the Gemara is going to do is the Gemara is going to have to give now a new pshat altogether in our Mishnah, because we still need to figure out what's our Mishnah talking about when the Mishnah is talking about Lefi Cheshbon. Okay. Because Hamshacha converts, meaning Hamshacha creates a conversion. Meaning the Torah requires me to tov on the mikvah. The mikvah needs to be natural water. So drawn water is no good because it's no longer coming from a quote-unquote natural source, but I can convert the water. How do I convert the water? This process called Hamshacha. Now, we now know that there's a machlokus between regarding... Yeah, absolutely. The only question is which position are we following? Lahalacha. Are we going to follow like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, we're going to follow like Rav Yochanan, who we now know is going like the Chachamim. So for that discussion, Tosfos, it's a spillover. Tosfos, it's like Hamshach and Tosfos. It starts on Yud Beis Amud Aleph, and it goes all the way through to the most of the next page, Yud Beis Amud Beis. Highlight of this Tosfos is second wide line, very wide line, So Tosus, his own conclusion is, and again, I'm citing one Rishon's opinion, but Tosus says that I would not recommend making a mikvah strictly through the process of Hamshacha, even though we know the Chachamim say it's okay, and even though we know Rav Yochanan says it's okay, but Tosus says I would not do it. Because Rashi holds like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Now that's strange. That's strange, but as I'm about to explain, it's not so strange because Rav Elazar ben Yaakov doesn't talk a lot, and when he speaks, it's gold, and Kavanaki, right? It's sifted, it's weighed, it's right. What he says is very, very carefully pre-selected, not like how I'm speaking right now. And Ava Al Yedei Revi Avam Shacha Kasha L'Kolei Alma Shim Yesh B'Mikvah Chaf Av Sal Maim Ksherim Mutar La Malos Bekatev Chal Sari Sa But certainly Tosfos acknowledges, look, Rashi sides like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, because Kavanaki, even though that's not the majority position, and even though Rav Yochanan disagrees, okay, but Rashi goes like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So look, Tosfos says, I'm out of respect for Rashi, I would recommend not to make an entire mikvah using this process of Hamshacha, but, says Tosfos, at least lefachos, you can follow like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, which means that if you have a mikvah made 21 sa'ah of collected rainwater, and now you need to fill up the mikvah to get to 40 sa'ah, so that for sure you could use Hamshacha. Okay. It makes you wonder, and let's do that right now, it makes you wonder, this psul of Maim She'uvim, is that what kind of psul is that? What kind of disqualification is that? Is that a psul d'oraisa or is that a psul d'rabbanan? Meaning, think about it, from Rav Yochanan's standpoint, you can make an entire mikvah out of Maim She'uvim, out of drawn water, as long as you convert it, as long as you do this process of Hamshacha.
Conversion just basically means take a pail, put it through a tube, and have it go into the drain.
Right, not a tube, but a canal, meaning right. You create
how long
a
canal.
Yeah, so that's, again, there's a lot of the mikvahs, meaning you got to learn mikvahs. It's machlokas amongst the Rishonim. I don't ask me.
That's how they bring ice from north and...
I mean, yeah. In other words, this process can be done. Now, again, how do we conclude la halacha? So Tosfos says, Tosfos quotes Rashi. Rashi says, not all the way. Just as long as you're filling up the rest of the mikvah, as long as the majority of his main mikvah, and you're just filling it up to the end, that's enough. Okay. Look, it's a big discussion in of itself. We still now, we're back in the Gemara, and we still need to pshat in our Mishnah. What does it mean, Lefi Cheshbon? So the Gemara says like this, Ela, Dechi Asa, no, not that, sorry. Ela, Amar Rabba, Lefi Cheshbon Kelim. So the Gemara says cheshbon kelim. When Amish is talking about a count, it's talking about the number of kelim. What does that mean? Yosef ben Choni he did Tanya. We learned in a brisa. Another Tosef out of Mikvos. Shlosha lugim mayim shuvim shenif shenaflu lamayim b'shnayim shlosha kelim v'afilu barba v'chamisha kelim posam as a mikvah. Look, three lugin of mayim shuvim is possible. And according to the Tanakhama of this brisa, it doesn't matter how it's collected, meaning in what kind of kalim it's collected in. If the three lugin are collected in four different kalim, which simple math will tell you, each kli is holding, not every single one, but could on average, each kli is holding less than a lug, that's still going to be considered mayim shuvim. Meaning you look at the sach hakol, you look at the sum total is three lugin of mayim shuvim now went into a mikvah, therefore apostles it. Yosef ben Choni omer b'shleim v'shosha kelim, posel as a mikvah, barba v'chamisha in posel as a mikvah. And Yosef ben Choni says, no, for three lugin to posel a mikvah, it has to be that the three lugin are coming from kelim, where each kli holds minimum one lug. So in other words, the only way three lugin could posel a mikvah is only if they're coming either from one large kli or from maximum three kalim, each one holding one lug. It's the only way to apostle mikvah. In other words, because less than one lug, it's not significant, and so therefore that's not mayim shuvim that apostle a mikvah.
How do we know whether two, three, or four, five?
This I don't know. Okay.
One at a time,
so then it won't apostle mikvah. Right, now, interesting, now if we make a mikvah totally out of that, I can't imagine, although I don't know, but I can't imagine that'll work. Okay, and that's now good. So that's the third halacha of our Mishnah, now we're up to number four. What was number four of the Mishnah? Ein mechatas osim mechatas, ela im matan ofar. Or I should say rather, afer. Okay, you want the paraduma. You want to sprinkle the paraduma. It's a combination of ashes and water. Maim chayim el keli, it is spring water here. It has to be spring water. And in addition to that, now I put the ashes, I float the ashes on top. Our Mishnah says that's how it has to be done. First water, and then ashes on top. Says the Gemara, Mantana, Rabbi Chabar Abba, Rabbi Yochan, the Lok, Rabbi Shimon. Our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Shimon, the Tanya Hikdim, offer Lamayim Pasuv, Rabbi Shimon Machshir. If you mocked him, the dirt to the water, it would be pasul, and Rabbi Shimon says that would be fine. My time to Rabbi Shimon dichtiv. Now, what is the reason behind Rabbi Shimon? It says v'lachula tamei me afar streifas hachatas. V'tanya Rabbi Shimon Omer. I'm skipping four words. Yeah, v'tanya Rabbi Shimon Omer v'chi afar hu v'alo efer hu. It's a little bit strange. Meaning, the Torah is talking about the paraduma and the ashes of the paraduma. The Torah is using language of dirt. It's not dirt. It's ashes. So shina hakasa mimash malah don he menuk zever shava. So the Gemara says that we're going to compare one water and ash mix with another water and dirt mix. Where else do we find this? Sota. Sota, we find the same requirement of mixing water together with dirt. Okay, just in other words, in the story of the paraduma, it's ashes. In the case of sota, it's dirt. Now by the sota, afar agabe mayim. It's first pour in the water, then the dirt. Right? We're talking about the mesota. This will be drunk by the sota in order to determine whether or not she had relations with the man in that private room. Umakan higdim afar lamayim kasher. Afkan higdim afar lamayim kasher. Now, the author of this brisa says that the best way to do it is first water, then dirt. First water, then ashes. But the brisa acknowledges that b'di'eved, if I switch it around, it's okay. So v'hacha minal trei kray k'siv v'nasan alav ama afer b'resha v'haduk siv mayim chayim el keli. It's the Torah somewhat confuses us. Because the Torah says, first of all, v'nasan alav, you put it on top, meaning the water. Sounds like that the ashes are already there. But then it says, mayim chayim el keli, you put the water in the kli. Sounds like the water goes first. Haketzad, ratza afa lamata, ratza afa lamala. So the offer can go either on the top or on the bottom. It would work either way. Okay? But what we learn from the sota is that the best way to do it is water on the bottom, or dirt and ashes on the top. Okay, that is the author of this brisa. That's not our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says it's not only preferred to put water first and then ashes, it's necessary. You have to do it that way. Who is the author of our brisa? V'tani didan my time amalacha sefer dekra davka v'nasan alav la'arvan. Because our Tana is of the opinion that when it comes to the preparation of the ashes and the water for the paraduma, the v'nasan alav. Sorry, sefer dekra davka. When it says v'nasan. No, I'm sorry. When it says Mayim Chaim El Keli, that's the right. That's the sefer dekra. So that's davka. That's specific. It has to be water coming to contact with the kli. Then when it talks about then you put ashes in, but it sounds like the ashes were there already. That's la'arvan. That's to mix it together. So the Gemara says Amay Chaz is damar sefer dekra davka damar reshet davka. Well, that seems to be a little bit arbitrary. How did you know which part of the pasuk to read literally and which part of the pasuk not to read literally? So he says, well, ma matzis is like a binyanav. It's like, what do we normally find? We normally find that the machshir goes on top. Rashi says, I'll give you some examples. Rashi says, sota, right? The dirt goes on top. Afar lamala, shuha machshir samayim. The dirt is considered the machshir, meaning the mayim is kind of like the base, and the dirt is the machshir, which goes on top. Not here. Elsewhere, Rashi gives another example. Right? Just give me a second. No. Okay. No, not here. Okay. Anyway, by the tziporim, right, the blood goes on the water. Another example where the machshir goes on top. Here, too, the machshir goes on top. Okay, good. So, once again, our Mishnah that says that it has to be specifically in that order, so the Gemara finds a brisa that does not, it's not according to everybody. Okay, next. Ein beis apras, ose beis apras. Okay. Beis apras, what is that? So the beis apras is a, if you look back at the Mishnah, so Rashi gives the definition of the beis apras. Sada shenech rash ba kever, alashon davar prusal. You have a field, there was a grave in the field, and a terrible accident, somebody plowed through the field. Okay? It was, obviously, he didn't intend to do it, at least I wouldn't think so. But anyway, the point is that now not only is where that grave is considered a makom tame, but the entire surrounding area, 100 amma by 100 amma area, around that where that grave once was, is now considered a beis apras. The word pras means, says Rashi back in the Mishnah, prusa. Meaning, unfortunately, what we have to assume is that bits and pieces of the remains are now spread out throughout the entire field. Okay. Now, just from a technical standpoint, so what kind of tumah are we talking about? Obviously, it's human remains, but is it tumas ohel? Not necessarily. Remember, in the world of tumas ohel, what do you need? You need either kezayis ben ameis, you need flesh, or if we're talking about bones, you need all the bones, or the majority of the bones, or the majority of the skeletal structure of the bones. But in other words, a bone chip is not give off to Mas Ohel. It becomes now, not a new grave, but an area where if you go on that area, you're going to become Tamei, albeit Midrabban and rabbinically. But still, you're going to be Tamei. The point that our Mishnah is making is, that's it. Meaning, what if that area then is plowed through again? Can that area now create a new beis apras? And that's what our Mishnah is saying. No, it can't. Meaning, it's a limit to how long we're going to extend this already extended version of Tumas Hameis. Right? That's what Rashi, I'm going back to Rashi back in the Mishnah. Im chazar v'charash beis apras v'sadosh shesvivosav lo mechaz kinu l'shar sados ke beis apras. Right? Dilma, we only find that one grave can create one beis apras, but that beis apras cannot then create a derivative beis apras.
Is it because it's two gezeras on top of each
Basically. That's my understanding.
There's no ratio here.
Now, right. So there's no ratio over here. It just simply doesn't extend. This is more like the Tamura model, where it just simply goes once, and that's it. Now, Masnisin Deloka Rabbi Eliezer, so the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Eliezer. If you remember yesterday, I had Rabbi Eliezer an 0-2 count. So now this is an 0-3, which in baseball is a strikeout, but this is Gemara, so my analogy is not wonderful. But in other words, our Mishnah, once again, is not subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Eliezer. Masnisin Deloka Rabbi Eliezer, Denan Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Beis HaPras, Ose Beis HaPras. Rabbi Eliezer says it extends. And is that ad infinitum? I don't know. There is an interesting Rashi on the bottom of the Amud where Rashi says, "Kol arba hasadu shesaviz beis apras im nechshu da afer beis apras mitam an." Rashi says all the four surrounding fields around this land are going to be considered an extended beis apras. Okay, that is. It's an interesting Rashi because Rashi later on says it's only the two side lands and not the ones above and below. Okay, but anyway. V'rabbanan ad kama. Now, according to the Chachamim, to what degree are we extending this area called Beis HaPras? Meaning, the Chachamim of our Mishnah clearly have a cap. What's that cap? So, ki asa Rav Dimi, amar Reish Lakish, amar Rabbi Shimon Bar Abba. So Rav Dimi comes in from Eretz Yisrael, quotes Reish Lakish, quotes in turn Rabbi Shimon Bar Arni, says, shalosh sados, Ushtei ma'anos. Three fields. And two ma'anos. V'kama melo ma'ana, me'ama. So it's how much is a melo ma'ana? So it is 100 ama. K'detanya, choshet sekever, ose beis apras, melo ma'ana, mea ama. So it is 100 ama. Take a look at the top Rashi over here. Ose sada shayeba akever v'sada lakan, v'sada lakan, im derech b'nei habika lachrosh dorsav mizrach umarav. So Rashi over here gives a scenario. Let's say we are plowing in an east-west direction. Okay, the little I know about farming, they only plowed in one direction. They didn't crisscross. Okay, you've exhausted my farming knowledge. Mizrach umarav. Rashi says osa beis apras osa sada shebe mizrach osa shebe marav v'imtzafim v'darim choshen beis apras osa shaltzafim v'osa shaldarim. Meaning you just follow the direction of plowing. Shisham Gilgal Hamar Khresha Saifer Beis HaPras Vatsamas of a Lola Arba Ruchos, She'in Derech Lachro Shesi Ve'erev. Rashi says it is unusual, just simply not normal, that you're crisscrossing. Va'osan Shte Sadis Gufay Lo Havikulu Beis HaPras El Shior Shte Ma'anos. Now, even that whole field that you plowed, says Rashi, that's not going to be a Beis HaPras, but it's rather going to be the distance of two Ma'anos. Mana Lazu. Umana lazu, a mana in this direction, mana in this direction. Ava osa sada shakever ba tamei kulo de lo yedina beiza makom mimena haya kever. The field where the kever actually lies in, that field is going to be. That's not that field for sure is going to be tamei. Umishim hachi osa malo mana lechosa de shema leechad lebeiz rasha hayu akever umisham halach leoso sada. Now the fact that you plow now in an east or west direction means now that there's a possibility that it was dragged. So lo sasad chaver to malo mana dezehu shir chareisha sakever dekach shiru chachamim de malo mana ruuyos hatsamos lizgagal ayude amachareisha. And this shir of malo mana, apparently the chachamim did tests and and studies, and they figured out that this is basically how far bones would be dragged if, God forbid, the plow were to be running through the grave and plowing up the a grave slot. Okay, back to the Gemara. We're on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph for four lines down. In truma achar truma. There's no truma after truma. What does that mean? Masisa mani Rabbi Akiva hi. So here, as opposed to telling us who the Mishnah is not following, here the Gemara tells us who the Mishnah is following. That nan hashutfim shetamu zeachar zeh, partners who aren't experiencing the best communication between one another. And so one partner wakes up in the morning and takes off truma. And the next partner walks in and says, oh boy, better take off truma, and he takes off truma. So Rabbi Lazar Omer truma shneim truma. So Rabbi Lazar says, both trumas that were removed are in fact truma. Now Rabbi Kiva Omer ain truma shneim truma. V'chachamim Omer im tarma rishon kishir, ain truma sasheni truma. V'im lo tarm kishir, truma sasheni truma. So according to Rabbi Akiva, look, the first guy did truma, that's it.
There's no shear for truma.
There is no shear min haTorah,
right.
But mid derabban the Rachachamin gave a shear.
But there are three shears that there are not, like there's not one shear, there's three shears.
Correct. The range is a 40th or 50th or a 60th, and Rabbi Akiva says it doesn't matter. As long as the first person took off an acceptable shear, even if it was a cheap one, but nevertheless, that's considered truma. And the Chachamim say, no, the Chachamim say it has to be a respectable shear. It has to be a chamishim. Okay, but anyway, but the point is that when our Mishnah says, ain't truma achar truma, that's the Rebbe Akiva position that the Mishnah is following. Finally, ain't tmura, said tmura, my taima, my krevi, tmura so, velo tmura so. Tmura is only a one-time event, but then to take your tmura animal and to then extend it, exchange it for another animal, doesn't work. Ein havlad ose tamura. And a vlad does not make tamura. Damakra who v'lo vlad. The Torah says, who usmaso yeh kodesh, only it can create tamura, but its offspring cannot create tamura. V'yura amir havlad ose tamura. Damakra yeh, the rabbi says havlad. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the yeh is inclusive. What are the chachamim going to do with the word yiyah? V'rabban l'rabba shogeg kemezid. It's shogeg is like mezid in the world of tamura. That's a little bit strange. What does that mean? What shogeg? What does mezid mean? In this context, we're talking about tamura, where the person is trying to exchange. What do you want to say? He didn't know the halacha. It's a little bit strange. Rashi over here quotes this. We're going to see the Gemara later on. It's talking about, says Rashi, where you were thinking about exchanging from a black to a white animal, and it turns out that it was not a white animal, but in fact it was a black animal. In the world of Hektesh, that usually is what's called Hektesh Tos, that usually doesn't work. In the world of Tamura, it does work. Okay, well, the reason why I'm just running through that is because we're going to see it later on. Right, so there is an interesting discussion. I saw one of my people spoke about it. In the case where I try to affect Tamura with a Tamura animal, right? So it doesn't work, right? The Gemara says that doesn't work because we don't go beyond the first Tamura exchange. Are you going to get Malkus? Right. Right. So the Rambam writes, interestingly enough, that you're going to get Malkus even though you didn't do anything, right? So you try to do it and therefore you're going to get Malkus, right? Assuming there are witnesses, Malkus is only going to come if there's process. So, but it's interesting, though, because the Gemara earlier says, why do you get Malkus for Tamura? So the Gemara earlier said, because you did something, meaning with your words, you actually transfer Kedusha from one animal to another. So here, if I tried to do Tamura with a Tamura animal, I didn't do anything. So there's a discussion in the Rambam, how come the Rambam insisting you're going to get Malkus when here you didn't do anything? Okay, so anyway, see, there's only four prakim of Rambam for Tamura. So, anyway, okay, let's start. Let's start the new Mishnah. Ha'ofos v'hamanachas enos in tamur shalo nemar ala behema. Okay, so rule number one of the Mishnah is that tamur is only for animals. Okay, and that's a very simple rule. Meaning, and the pasuk pretty much says it, the Torah says behema. Talks about it in terms of an animal. Good. So there's no tamur by mincha, there's no tamur by a bird. Now, a community, a communal carbon, and a partnered carbon cannot affect tamura, or you can't affect tamura with that animal that's owned either by the community or by a partnership. The Torah says yamir. Now, I don't know how much of Hebrew grammar you remember from grade school, but it's lashon yachid. Right? Yamir, he can't make it. So in other words, it's a sole proprietor of the animal. Kache bedekabayz enos in tamura. And also, if it's just kache bedekabayz, meaning it does not have kedusha saguf, it's owned by bedekabayz, well, obviously it still has kedusha, but it's only kedusha's damim, there's no affecting tamura with that. Okay. Amar Rabbi Shimon v'arei meiser bechlal haya. Now, meiser was bechlal. Now, what Rabbi Shimon here is dealing with is the following. You have your chumash here? Okay, good. It's fine. In Parshas Bechukosai, I'll just say it outside, and you can look it up after. In Parshas Bechukosai, in Perek Chav Zayin, the Torah talks about the prohibition of Tamura twice. once towards the beginning of the perek, and then again later at the end of the perek. In the beginning of the perek, it says, don't do tamura. Don't make a tamura animal. Okay? But if you do, who's mercy a kodesh? V'im hamir yamir, who's mercy a kodesh? And then what the Torah does, a little bit later on towards the end of the perek, it's like one of the last psukim of Sefer Vayikra, is it repeats. Oh, by the way, don't make tamura. Not only does it repeat it, but it puts it in the context of which other mitzvah in the Torah? Meiser behema. So the Torah goes out of its way to basically connect tamura to meiser behema. And the simple question is why? Why is the Torah connecting tamura to meiser behema? So Rabbi Shimon of our Mishnah is going to tell us now, let me explain why. That's Rabbi Shimon of our Mishnah. I'm Rabbi Shimon. V'harei meiser b'chlal haya. V'lama yatsa. Yeah, you know what meiser? You know what meiser is? It's a carbon. It's no different than any other carbon. And meanwhile, the Torah goes out of its way to talk about tamura in the context of meiser behema. Why? So lama l'chama meiser carbon yachid yatsu carbon atzibur u'ma meiser carbon mizbeach yatsu carbon atzberek abayis. So Rabbi Shimon's there to tell us. You know why the Torah is telling us? Tamura is only going to work if it fits a Meiser Behema model. What's a Meiser Behema model? Meiser Behema is only for an individual. Remember we learned back in Becharos, partners who own animals, no mitzvah of Meiser Behema. Meiser Behema is a carbon mizbeach. And it's not Bedek HaBayis. So Tamura only works by Bedek HaBayis. Okay. Now, you'll notice, Tamura doesn't work for Bedek HaBayis. Right. Now, in the Mishnah, you'll notice basically what the Mishnah now has provided for us is really two separate explanations as to why tamura doesn't work for a partnership. One is because the language of the Torah, lo yachlifenu v'lo yamir, the lashon yachid, or the Rabbi Shimon explanation, which is because tamura is connected to Maisa Behema. Well, which one is correct? So, as I'll explain a little bit later on this morning, it's really that's the machlokas, meaning that's part of the machlokas contained in the Mishnah. Okay. Let's start with the Gemara. Tan Rabban Yachol Yu Kachi Bedek HaBayis Osin Tamura. I might have thought that Bedek HaBayis can affect Tamura. Why? Before I get to the why, Tam Alamar Karban. Mish Nikru Karban Yasu Kachi Bedek HaBayis Shalom Nikru Karban. Well, the Torah describing Tamura says Karban. What does Karban mean? Only Karban. Okay. Velo Vatanya E Karban. So the Gemara says, you mean to tell me that when the Torah uses the word Karban, it's only referring to something going on in the Mizbeach? But that's not accurate. That's not true. How do I know that? So the Gemara quotes a Braisa over here, Vahatanya. It's interesting, Rashi. Rashi really knew, he knew everything. I'm saying, but I want to highlight this Rashi. It's such an interesting Rashi. Rashi says, we're about to quote Torah's Kohanim. So Rashi says, how do I know that? He says, because if you know Torah's Kohanim and you read the language of Torah's Kohanim, you'll understand that what you're looking at right now is Torah's Kohanim. It's like, you know, when you know something really well, you just have simple recognition. You just look at it and you say, oh, that's Torah's Kohanim. Can I speak on behalf of myself? I don't know Torah's Kohanim. Right? In other words, I don't. Right? This is an admission. I don't go through Torah's Kohanim. And meanwhile, so I'm reading the Gemara over here. I'm guessing. It's a Braisa, it's a Tosefta. I don't know. But Rashi looks at it and Rashi says, oh, that's Torah's Kohanim, obviously. Okay. Anyway, the Hatanya we learned in a Braisa. And I'll quote Rashi. We learn from Torah's Kohanim. This is talking about the prohibition of Shechut Echutz. And E-Karban, and the Torah says that if I shech the carbon outside the base of Mikdash, I violate Shechut Echutz with the punishment of Kares. Karban, Shomei Ani, Afil Kachei Bedek HaBayis. Now, I might have thought this would extend even to Kachei Bedek HaBayis. An animal for Kachei Bedek HaBayis? Sure. Let's say the animal has a blemish. And I was makdish the animal. So, who's the recipient of that animal? Bedek HaBayis. Fine. Shenikru Karban. And even that sometimes is called a Karban. So now I could have entertained the following Havamina. Interesting Havamina. I have an animal that's blemished that I was makdish. It has Kedushas Damim, not Kedushas Mizbeach. And yet, I'd violate the Isser of Shechut Echutz. Why? Because the Torah, when describing Shechut Echutz, says Karban. And Karban is not limited to Mizbeach. How do I know that? Shenikru Karban, Kenyan Shenemar, V'nakriv es Karban Hashem. Because after our war with Midian, and we collected gold and other precious metals, we said, We want to give karban Hashem. We want to bring this as a karban. It's not an animal, and yet the Torah is describing it as karban. So I might have thought now that the word karban is not just a mizbeach term, but it's actually a broader term that refers to anything that was consecrated. So Tamalamar Vel Pesach Omor Loivio Kabal Pesach Omor Chayavala Mishum Shchote Chutz V'Choshei Bala Pesach Omoid Ein Chayavan Alav Mishum Shchote Chutz. So Ama Ikrei Karban. So you see that the word karban is a broad term referring to anything that is consecrated. So now, if that's true, so now the Temura Parsha may not be limited to just karban mizbeach. Am Rabbi Chinah lo kasha, Rabbi Shimon harabanan, lo Rabbi Shimon ikrei karban, lo Rabban lo ikrei karban. This is a debate amongst the Tanaim. Meaning, I told you back in the Mishnah, there's a machlokis. Here it is. Here's the machlokis between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim as to whether karban is an inclusive term or a limited term. Lo ikrei karban v'lova aksiv v'nakrivas karban Hashem ikrei, karban lahashem lo ikrei. So, and as far as that pasuk regarding the Muhammad's Midyan and the spoils of war, you got to read that pasuk carefully. It says karban Hashem, not karban lahashem. Had it said karban lahashem, so then I would agree with you that the word karban is an inclusive term. But it doesn't say karban lahashem, it says karban Hashem. Meaning karban Hashem, that could be used as a broad term. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. And here we go. Meaning, we're going to now see this very clearly, that whether or not karban is an inclusive term or a very limited term to just which is put on the mizbeach is going to be articulated over here in this braisa. Tana Rabbanan. Lo yivaka ben tov la rav lo yimireno. Lama namar v'lo kfar namar lo yach lifeno v'lo yamir so tov b'ra. Here, the braisa asked the question which I presented just a couple of moments ago. The Torah in the beginning of Perek Chav Zayin talks about the issur of Temura. And then at the end of Perek Chav Zayin, repeats the issur of Temura and puts it right next to the mitzvah of Maaser Behema. Why? Lefisha nemar lo yach lifenu v'lo yamir so mashma karban yachid. Karban zibar v'karban mizbech v'karban bedek abayis tamalama lo yivaker. Ama Rabbi Shimon v'harei Maaser Bechla haya. Now, Rashi struggles a little bit with how to read this part of the Gemara, but Rashi says, why don't we just read it all together? Meaning, everything we're reading now is really Rabbi Shimon. Meaning, it's Rabbi Shimon who enjoys the connection of Temura and Maaser Behema. Why is Temura put next to Maaser Behema? V'lama yatzal l'malacha, ma'aser karban yachid, v'karban mizbech, v'davar sheba b'chova, v'davar she'eino b'shutfus. There are four things we can say about Maaser Behema. Number one, it's an individual karban. Number two, it goes on the mizbech. Number three, something that comes as an obligation. That one's a little fuzzy. Well, I'll come back to that in just a moment. And number four, it's davar she'eino b'shutfus. It's something which doesn't come as a partnership, which really seems to be a repeat of one. Okay, but just those are all the things that we can say regarding Maaser Behema. And since Temura is connected to Maaser Behema, that now sets the criteria of what can be Temurad versus what can't be Temurad. Okay, I know, it's fantastic English. Okay, yeah, I'm right. That's how these people do it. They just make words up. So okay, it sets the criteria for what can and cannot be tamurid. I've called carbon yachid, the carbon mizbech, the davar sheba b'chova, the davar sheina b'shutfus. Good. That is all Rabbi Shimon. So what do you see? That it's the same Rabbi Shimon who earlier in the Gemara says that the word carbon by itself doesn't tell us anything. Carbon is a general term that can refer to anything. So how do I know that Temura is only limited to karban yachid, karban mizbeach, right, and the other two, which require more clarification. But how do I know? It's only because of its connection to Maaser Behema. That's Rabbi Shimon. Now we're reading on. We're on the top of Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Nice. Rabbi Omer, Lama Yatsas, Maaser, Me'ata Lidon B'Temura Shmo, Utemura's Gufa. Now, Rebbe says, no, I disagree. Meaning, look, Rebbe, basically, the story behind the story is, Rebbe says that all these halachas that you learned, karban. Meaning, karban says it all. And as far as an individual, not a partnership, we'll go back to the Mishnah, Yamir, as opposed to I guess, namir. Well, I'm not sure how else you would say it, but meaning Rebbe already has these halachas down from the Parsha of Tumor by itself. Why then does the Torah put together Tumor with Maisa Behema to talk about a whole different halacha altogether? Okay? What halacha is Rebbe, according to Rebbe, is it speaking to? One of our favorite halachas that we talked about at the end of Becharos. Remember the ninth parak of Becharos? We're there. The talked about the mitzvah of Maiser Behema. And there, we spent a couple of days talking about miscounts. And we talked about nine coming out, and again, it was the right, you woke up way too early, and you called the number 10, the 10th one comes out, you called the number 9, the next one comes out, which is the 11th one, you called the number 10. And what do we say? All three of them have Kedusha. We're going to use new terminology. I made up a word. The Gemara is going to, quote unquote, make up a word. But it's not the Gemara's made up word. It's just, we're going to describe that as Tamura. It kind of is Tamura. But you think about it, it's almost like there really is a tenth animal, and I kind of exchanged it for one. But
the thing is that you don't have any intent to replace right, or exchange.
Right. So instead, so we're going to call this quasi-Tamura. Or, if I'm going to borrow the Gemara's terminology, we're going to call this Tamura Shemo. Tamura in name. Okay? What are we going to call regular Tamura? Tamura's Gufo. Tamura's Gufo is when I'm actually interested, like you described, in making an exchange between one animal to another animal. That's Tamura's Gufo. As opposed to the miscounting, where instead of calling it number 9, which is what it really is, I call it number 10. Tamura Shemo. Okay. Ah, so Rebbe says, do you know what the connection is all about between Tamura and Maisa Behema? It's about this halacha. Me'ata lidam b'tamura shmo v'tamura gufo. Lamelcha tamura shmo kreva, tamura gufo eino kreva. Interesting. What comes out according to Rebbe is the following. If I engage in what we're now going to call tamura shmo, calling number 9, 10, calling number 11, 10, right, and it only works for 9 and 11.
There's no lab about that. There's no lab. There's no malka. There's no warning. There's nothing.
Right. It's a mutated form of Tamura. It's a variation of Tamura. So it's a chiddush. It's a major chiddush. And not only are they going to be receiving kedusha, they could be offered as a karban. Now, why is that so novel? So Rebbe says, because what if I did real Tamura? Not this varied form of Tamura. What if I did real Tamura with Maiser Behema? Meaning I have a Maiser Behema animal. I didn't like which one came out as number 10. And now I just do my old-fashioned Tamura. Just regular Tamura. With it, in other words, and another animal. What becomes of that Tamurid animal? Number one, I violated the Isra of Tamura. But number two, you know what? With that Tamura animal, I can't offer it as a karban. What? I can't offer it as a karban. Now, generally speaking, what happens with Tamura? It becomes whatever, right, it's a karban copy. Okay, I think that's the first time I used it here in the Masechta. I'll try never to use that pun again. But it's the, it is whatever it comes from.
It is.
However, there are two exceptions to the rule, Bechor and Maiser Behema, where if I do Tamura with a Bechor or Maiser Behema, the animal that is now the derivative cannot be brought as a karban. Special halacha. So,
Rebbe. I thought like 11 became a shlomim.
Right. What Rebbe's teaching us is that Tamura Shmo, this variation form of Tamura, the miscounting, that does become a karban. If I did a real Tamura with Maisa Behema, it doesn't become a karban. So, Kreva Tamura's Gufo ain't a Kreva. Tamura Shmo Nigelis, Tamura's Gufo ain't a Nigelis. Tamura's Gufo Chala Aldavar Haroi, Valdavar Shenaroi. Tamura Shmo ain't a Chala Aldavar Haroi, Bovad. So, in other words, this quasi Tamura has more Tamura effect than real Tamura. I know that's confusing. I know this little bit of Gemara over here is difficult, but Rebbe says that's exactly what the point the Torah is trying to make by connecting Tamura to Maisa Behema. That there's this varied version of Tamura, as opposed to the real version of Tamura. So Mishum de Rabbi Rachman Dias Be Tamura Shmo, Igra Igra. So the Gemara says, isn't that so strange? Meaning, you're telling me now that in the world of Meisah Behemah, I have a quasi version of Tamura, meaning our miscount. Calling number 9, 10. Calling number 11, 10. And there, it works. And meanwhile, if I do real Tamura with Meisah Behemah, it's not going to work? Is that logical? So the Gemara's answer is so simple. In. Yeah. I mean, not that it's logical, but correct. Meaning, that's a correct way to understand the mechanics. Damrin, amai de rabbi rabbi, amai de lo rabbi. So the Gemara says, because sometimes the Torah goes out of its way to tell us something new and novel, but when there's a novelty, that's all I can do. It's just talk about the novelty. And this is a rule, that when the Torah introduces a novelty, that's all I have. It's just the novelty and nothing beyond the novelty. And so therefore, in the world of Meisah Behemah, here's a novelty. There's something called Tamura Shmo, where if I say 9 is 10, and I say 11 is 10, they're going to be injected with the Kedusha of the Meisah Behemah animal. It's not Tamura's Gufo, it's not real Tamura, it's Tamura Shmo. 9 will be offered as a carbon, 11 will be offered as a carbon. Yeah, we did say that. You're right. We did say that in Bechoros. And over here, it sounds like
11 is 11.
It's funny. You read my thoughts. I was thinking about that as well. But it sounds like over here that they both are going to be offered, as opposed to Tamura's Gufo, where if I take a Meisah Behemah animal and I try to affect our classic Tamura by having it stand next to another animal and exchanging the Kedusha, that second animal is, although it will be imbued with Kedusha, cannot be offered as a carbon. Why? Because it's connected to Bechor, and those are the two exceptions where they're not going to be offered as the original animal. Does that make sense? And the Gemara's answer is, yeah. Yeah. Because when the Torah introduces a Chiddush to us, Ein bo ela chidusha. All you have is just a Chiddush and nothing beyond the Chiddush. Okay, we have a little bit more to finish the Perek. We'll do so beginning of tomorrow morning, God willing, and we'll get on to the new Perek. Learning we do this morning, which should be for a continued refuah shlema for Rafaela Zakai ben Avraham ben Yakir Avigail. Okay, and a for Elias Neshama
Eliyahu
ben Yitzchak and Chamda by Yitzchak Dova Cohen.
Rechanan ben Akash Amar Zakas Baruch Zakas Alfich Acher Ben Torah Mitzvah Shenema Anachavetz Amantzikol Yadul Torah Yehuda.